At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Chase and Michelle, hour number two, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the great Nick Kieser behind the glass. Hey, we're throwing out happy birthdays. Pete Weber, Dolly Parton, Emma Lingen from the Nashville Predators. It's
yes,
her birthday,
Emma,
too.
Shout out. Happy birthday.
January 19th, big day.
The new addition to the Preds reporting staff,
I guess. Yeah, she's done a great job. Helped us out a lot, sending back audio, especially on the road. So happy birthday, Emma. Talking about the Titans and Rand Carthon, he will be introduced sometime tomorrow. We don't know the exact time yet, but looking forward to that. I realize, you know, we just speculate on everything. That's what we do. Like, who's going to be in the press conference? We know Rand Carthon will be there. Will Amy Adams Strunk be there? Will Burke Nyhill? Will Mike Vrabel? Who's going to do it? Who's going to be a part of it? Is it just, are they going to, you know, elect Jared to introduce him? I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Chase.
I know. Yeah, that would be funny. Let Kaharsky do it. That'd be even better.
Teresa would get to.
I could support that. I'd be cool with that. Teresa, I mean, she's the best. And so she would be fair and could totally.
She also just like organizes the whole media. I remember it was when they were like the Thursday.
She's mom. She's the media mom. That's what she is.
She's like, hey, everybody, listen. We want a Zoom press conference or this or that. And we're like, we all like raise our hands.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, got it.
Teresa watches out for me.
Oh,
I mean, like she literally is like the mom of Nashville media.
I know she's a Tennessee fan, but we still love her.
That's okay. You got your win. Let's just chill. I mean,
that was going to be my best in sports. I forgot we're doing it tomorrow.
One Robbie national Rexford. Championship under Cal, and you know, but that's okay.
And how many does Tennessee have?
None. But I mean,
or
like
Final Fours or Elite Eights, yeah, or Sweet Six.
Are we going to go down this road? I mean, who cares? Like, you go there, that's fine. That's great. Everybody wants to brag about, oh, we have this many Final Fours. Great. How many championships do you have?
I mean, I think a Final Four is a great accomplishment for a college basketball program.
But you got to eventually back it up. And he's done it one time. One time.
Okay.
One time. It's like always give me crap about the Braves in the 90s that they went to 5 World Series but only one championship. And I'll be like, okay, all right.
I mean, Tom Izzo, one national championship. Bill Self just got a second one last year. Right? Like, there are a lot of people in the college basketball world who are great, you know, have great programs and have only won it once. I mean,
sure,
we got way off topic.
I'm climbing out of the rabbit hole that I've taken us down. I take full responsibility for it. It is all my fault. But we'll get back to the Titans.
We have time.
Speaking of championships and getting those championships, can the Titans take their next step as a franchise with Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel? This was we keep referencing the Jeff Fisher interview from yesterday with Caroline Willie and D-Mace. If you missed it, go to thegamenashville.com. But I found this to be interesting, how he ended the interview, because Jeff accomplished a lot of things here with the late, great Floyd Reese. But this was his comments on the way out.
Let me just say this. Let me go on the record, okay? I won a few games here, and I don't know what that is, but they say I'm the winningest coach in franchise history. That record is going to fall with this relationship between the two of them. That's how strongly I feel about Mike, the organization, where it's headed, and this hire.
How about that? That is a
pretty good endorsement.
Strong endorsement from a guy that, you know, deserves a lot of recognition for his time here as the head coach. Both good, you know, good, bad, and different, doesn't matter. He deserves it. He deserves to be in the Ring of Honor. He is the all-time winningest coach in franchise history. And then I want to say Bum Phillips would be second on that list. Vrabel is now third, and he's set, he's 8 wins away from Bum Phillips, I believe.
And this will be Vrabel's 6th year?
Mm-hmm.
Coming up?
Yeah. But, you know, Fisher has the most. And Vrabel would obviously have to be here a lot longer to get to that point. If you just look at strictly the Titans, Vrabel's already second on that list. So, behind Fisher.
And you said he's 8 games behind?
Yeah, Bum Phillips, who was only with the
Houston
Oilers.
No, I meant from Fisher.
No. He's several. He's about 110 more than that.
I was going to say, only 8 games. Damn.
No, behind Bum Phillips.
That could be next season.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so he's looking, probably could pass it next season.
Mm-hmm. But I heard that, and I was like, okay, Jeff, all right. I mean, that's not something you just throw out.
Well, and I think, too, when we saw that, you know, we always paired them together. It was Vrabel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Vrabel and Robinson together. And it was clear when the firing of John Robinson happened was that they were choosing Mike Vrabel and to move forward with him because they thought, you know, he was the stronger of the two. Just like when it was Floyd and Jeff Fisher, they decided to go with Jeff Fisher. But I think now, right, Vrabel had the opportunity to play a role in whoever they hired as their general manager because Amy Adams Strunk believes that Mike Vrabel will be the coach here for a while. I mean, she did give both of them the contract extension in February. We know how that has turned out on the John Robinson front, but it gives Mike Vrabel the opportunity to help choose a general manager and get those two on the same page and what they see for this franchise. And at the end of the day, you're all chasing a championship.
Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer Charles Robinson was on Robbie and Rex Road earlier this morning. He'll join them every Thursday at 8 o'clock from now on. He gave his thoughts on the Rancarthon hiring.
Number one, a really big connector with not only the people around him and the people he might be managing, but also with players. And then secondly, just how it seems like everywhere he's been, in particular during the run in San Francisco, he had this way of making everybody feel really included in whatever the process was. And the reason why, you know, the light bulb kind of goes off for me in this situation, in this hire, is I think ownership. That's what they were looking for. They wanted a level of inclusivity with the general manager and also, you know, I know the comments are out there from John Lynch, but this idea that you're going to kind of go through it as they, you know, as the Titans try to revamp the roster, probably upgrade the, update the offense a little bit, lean it more into the passing game. And, you know, it's not going to be an easy process. And you got to have general manager and coach that are there, tied together, loyal to each other, which is very similar to San Francisco. I mean, it was the difficulty that San Francisco went through overturning that roster from 2017 to today, which was immense. It was insane. I mean, I can literally remember the first 3 off seasons going there and you watch them wipe out an entire roster and recreate it into a Super Bowl caliber team.
That's Charles Robinson earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road talking about that. And he says the key phrase, I should say, that, you know, the head coach and the general manager, they have to be loyal to each other. They have to be on the same page. That's what Amy Adams Strunk is banking on, and that's what Rancarthon was banking on when he said yes to the job. So how quickly can they get on the same page and start this process of fixing this roster, and how much change are we going to see in year one, and could quarterback be a part of that? We'll discuss the quarterback market and some of the movement, because Charles had some interesting takes on that when we come back here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser here with you, 615-737-1025. That is our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and our show presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. Charles Robinson was on Robbie and Rex Road earlier today, which I happen to be a part of. Michelle, obviously a part of that every day from 6 to 9 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And one thing that was discussed with him was the quarterback market and just how much that's changed in the last few years. But what could it look like this year?
The quarterback market, if suddenly Lamar Jackson becomes a tradable commodity, it's nuts. Like, I 2 years ago, I talked to Sean, or it was after Stafford got traded and Brady went to Tampa. I talked to Sean Payton, and I was like, this is insane. Like, this is this quarterback migration. Jared Goff gets traded. I'm like, I've never seen anything like this. It's like a whole new world in the NFL. And Sean was like, it's one off season. He's like, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see whether this is a trend. I think it's a trend. Like, I really do. I think now it's been a couple years in a row here where we've kind of had this happen. And I think, like, as active as the NFL general managers are at the deadline, they're just as active now with quarterbacks and being willing to move these guys around. And I also think the quarterbacks know that they have the leverage to push to be moved to.
That's the key thing for me, is they know they have more control now. I'll say, as a fan, and then obviously with what we do, I like the movement. I mean, it gives us something to talk about. It's fascinating to see. Loyalty's dead in a lot of different ways in the NFL. I mean, not for long, really, is what it stands for. I mean, the fact that Brady, you know, was in New England as long as he was, I honestly think those days are gone. You know, Rodgers in Green Bay. I mean, I just think that the money, there is way too much money tied into players now, especially the quarterback position, that, you know, eventually, you know, that's what's going to drive a guy to either want to leave or the team to be like, you're just not worth it, or we can't afford you, and so we move on. But I think it creates a fascination, an even different fascination with the league.
No, I completely agree. I mean, last year was, you know, a lot of movement happening between, we didn't know what Rodgers was going to do. We didn't know, you know, Brady was still under contract with the Bucs. We didn't know what Russell Wilson was going to do. A lot of different moving pieces. You know, I do think that some of the organizations, when they know they have their guy, like when the Kansas City Chiefs gave Patrick Mahomes his huge contract, he'll be with the Chiefs for a very, very long time. Maybe in the second half of his career, the Chiefs have another young guy underneath them and he does something like Brady and he moves to a different organization to try to chase another ring. You know, I think Burrow, he'll get that big contract from Cincinnati soon. So when you draft your quarterback and you early on see, okay, this is our guy, we're going to give him the big contract, right? You'll see loyalty in that aspect. But I think the Ravens one is an interesting conversation, you know, with Lamar Jackson and him trying to get that contract and not being able to figure out a deal this offseason. I think he's definitely going to be a guy to kind of watch out for if he's on the move. And, you know, the Ravens have the opportunity to franchise tag him, but we could see him do what Deshaun Watson did before all of the stuff happened with Deshaun Watson, and just be like, okay, well, I'm not playing for you. Okay, you can franchise tag me, but I'm not playing.
Yeah.
So they have, I think we're really seeing lately is player empowerment. And I think we've seen it with a couple different positions. You know, it was safeties a couple years ago, it was tight ends a couple years ago. It was wide receivers last year with the AJ Brown, with Tyreek Hill, with Christian Kirk, with Davante Adams, right? They knew that the market for that position had gone up when we saw Tyreek Hill was the first, Davante Adams, and then it was Tyreek Hill afterwards get those huge contracts. Well, see, Titans fans, you can feel however you want about AJ Brown, but for these players, they don't know when their career could be over, when they could tear an ACL and not be the same player. So it is so important for these rookie guys to be able to get that second contract and get that guaranteed money, because you never really know when your career could end. So when you see a market jump up like that for a certain position and you know that you are one of the top players in the league, you got to jump on that. And that's what we've seen, you know, with wide receivers this past year. You know, Lamar's probably trying to do that this year. And with just player movement in general, it's fascinating. It makes an offseason very, very fun, Chase.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I kind of wonder, are there things that are in place now that we could see go away, like the franchise tag, because the contract, you know, becomes too great? The fifth-year option for first-round picks. You see a lot of teams that aren't even picking that up anymore. Now, you know, you bring up the quarterback market. Daniel Jones and the Giants, I mean, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option because it kind of felt like they were going to move on from him. Well, Brian Daboll gets there.
And he's like, no,
he has
no.
A career year, and now it's like, oh, well, I guess we're probably going to keep him. And there's a lot of different ways you can go about that. But, you know, with the franchise tag, if you franchise a guy, you're going to probably, with most cases, end up overpaying by a lot, depending on the position. But, you know, quarterback especially. So I am curious to see how, with the next CBA, kind of when that stuff gets discussed and how it might change.
Yeah, unfortunately, the next one. So in February 20th, 2020, is when they voted for the 2020 to the 2030 season. So, I mean, it's going to be a while, right? At least 7 years now. But those are things to think about in moving forward. If we'll see more of it, if we'll see less of it, with contracts, with just player movement in general. But I do think that was an interesting clip from Charles Robinson. He said, you know, I talked to Sean Payton a year or 2 years ago and talking about this player movement and Brady making the big move from being with the Patriots forever to jumping down with the Bucks. But Chase, I think you hit on it. It's loyalty.
Yeah.
It's not really there anymore because people, they want to win and they're jumping. Oh, this roster looks good. Brady's like, ooh, Tampa Bay looks good down there. I want to get another ring. I'm going to jump down there because they need a quarterback. And I think that we could win another Super Bowl.
That's the crazy thing, though. When he joined that roster, it was okay, but it wasn't great. It wasn't the best roster available, especially the offensive line. He obviously had some receivers, but then, you know, he brings Gronk with him.
That helps.
You know, that helped a lot, but that was kind of the interesting part. So Charles Robinson did comment on Brady and where he might land this year.
In terms of Brady, here's the only thing I can tell you with Brady. For a month, all I've heard is there's no way he's staying in Tampa if Byron Leftwich is still calling plays as the offensive coordinator. There would have to be some pretty significant changes on offense and the coaching staff for him to return. I had heard they were going to fire him. I had heard after the playoff loss they were going to fire him. I expected the morning after it was going to be announced they fired him. And then Todd Bowles came out and said, no decisions have been made yet, which is surprising to me, and it makes me wonder if Tampa already knows that Tom's sort of like, yeah, I'm moving on. So, you know, and they're sitting there saying, well, we don't have to fire Byron if Tom's leaving anyway. We don't necessarily have to fire Byron. I don't know. The Raiders, to me, make sense in terms of the comfort level between Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady. I can't tell you where Tom's going to end up. I don't think anybody can tell you where Tom's going to end up right now. But, yeah, I think he is one. I think he's probably number one in terms of, like, how do we figure out the quarterback shuffle. I would say Aaron Rodgers is still someone that, given what he said recently with Pat McAfee, sounds like he's a guy who still wants to play. He just doesn't want to stay in Green Bay if they have massive veteran roster changes there on offense, which they could. So it's weird. We're still kind of waiting on these old guys to sort out the quarterback market, but that's what we're waiting for. And
that's Charles Robinson earlier this morning. Now, that was about an hour before it came out that Byron Leftwich has been fired as the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Bucks. So it's kind of funny. We have him on and then boom, there it goes, that he is out and they're going to be reportedly making a lot of coaching changes on both sides of the ball as Todd Bowles brings his staff in. But Vegas, to me, continues to be the most obvious choice for Brady if he comes back. If, you know, would I be 100% surprised if he retired? No. Will I believe it?
No.
At the time? No. I mean, he's got some Brett Favre in him for sure that's hard to let go. But, you know, I kind of thought about what, like, Tampa wasn't on the list last time.
Came out
of
nowhere.
You know, Tampa was a different one. Could there be another team that we're not currently thinking about that it's like all of a sudden, you know, they pop in? I made the joke with Joe Washington. I really don't see that. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I don't think he would go to that organization. But, you know, what about
the Jets?
The Jets could be interesting. New Orleans could be interesting as they look for a quarterback.
Hopefully not the Colts.
What about Seattle? Brady and Pete Carroll?
and DK Metcalf?
That could be interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I never really.
If that team can get to the playoffs with Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Even at 46 years old, I mean.
Yeah, that could be an interesting option, and he would be in the. It's on the West Coast. Able to get to play the 49ers a lot, right? Beating. I'm sure he would love to beat them a lot.
Would they let him wear number 12 as the 12th? You know, the 12th man. Like, that's like their big thing.
Yeah. That would be really interesting. I didn't think about that one.
I think they'd figure that out.
Yeah. Oh my God. No. I meant like, of course they'd let him wear 12, but interesting. I haven't thought about him as a landing spot being Seattle. I think that they're gonna stick with Geno right now. I don't think I could see Seattle making the big move for him. But I mean, every team's probably considering it. I mean, other than the teams who have their guys like the Chiefs, the Bengals, you know, the Chargers have their young guys. But I mean, if you're kind of in a weird situation like the Seattle Seahawks, you know, like the 49ers, like the Titans, I mean, even throw in like the Panthers, I don't think he would go there. But these are all teams who don't have their quarterback set.
It's going to be an interesting discussion. That is for sure. And I love that part of where free agency and everything has gone. It's Chase and Michelle. We'll have more coming here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keyser here with you. We'll have Predators tickets to give away here in just a few minutes. We're broadcasting live at the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Titans just sending out that Rand Carthon, the new general manager, will be introduced tomorrow at noon. With a press conference at their facility. So we will be carrying that for you right here on these airwaves. But right now we shift gears, talk a little college hoops. Let's say hello to Casey Alexander, head coach of the Belmont Bruins, who joins us now. Casey, how the heck are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. I know you had a big win the other night against Murray State, but as you've shifted into the Missouri Valley, you've switched valleys. How has that transition been moving into a new conference?
It's been a mixed bag. I mean, it's been fun. The newness of it all has kind of invigorated all of us a little bit, I believe. But it's been really tough. I mean, this league is no joke. Really, really tough teams. A much different style than what we're used to. And it has taken us some time to adjust, but we are learning on the go.
So why, when you say it's a different style, why do you think that is from conference to conference?
Well, that's a good question. I think my opinion of the Valley has always been, and I think it's supported at this point in time, that it's really a derivative of the Big Ten. A lot of Midwestern schools. Just that kind of style, low-tempo games, really physical kids, teams. Rosters are built that way, kind of with the defensive end in mind more so, and built just for the physicality of the game. And then, what I wasn't planning on that I've learned is that, I mean, the officiating in this league, which is great, it supports that style as well. I mean, they just do not blow the whistle. And so it's a grown man's league. And, and like I said, I think we've learned. I think we're surviving it, but we're not really built for it at this point in time. It's going to take us a while to get there.
We got Casey Alexander on with us, Belmont basketball head coach. Casey, you know, you talked about the transition from the Ohio Valley Conference to the Missouri Valley Conference. You don't have the luxury of playing these teams year to year. So when it comes to film study and it comes to scouting and prepping for these different teams week to week, how do you think your team has, you know, adjusted? How do you think they've been locked in during the film sessions and just adjusting in general to these different teams that they're seeing this year?
Yeah, that's definitely been different as well. Now, we've got a lot of new faces. We got 8 new guys on our roster, and so they don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. But for the staff, there's so much – what makes conference play so exciting but also very difficult from a coach's perspective is the familiarity and carryover from year to year to year to year. And we have none of that, literally none of that in this league. Murray State went with us into this league, so that we got a little bit there, but even they're very different. So every game, in a lot of ways, the first time through conference play, it feels like a non-conference game because we're playing teams that we're not familiar with, that we've never prepared for. We're traveling to cities we've never been to, new hotels, new gyms. Mm-hmm. You know, so it has definitely been an adjustment. You know, like I said, it's been fun. You know, just the newness of it all, but it has taken quite a bit of additional prep and readiness for staff and players alike.
Well, a guy who was on your team last year and has been a pretty big role player for you all this year, Ben Shepherd, 23 points against Murray the other night in your 80-65 win. What have you seen from Ben just in the transition from last year to this year, and how do you think he's played a bigger role in this offense?
Well, he led us in scoring last year, but amazingly, it was really as a complementary player. We had two other guys, you know, Nick Musinski, Grayson Murphy, that were all conference players. We had 5 fifth-year seniors on that team. Mm-hmm. You know, so Ben was, you know, he flew under the radar a little bit, even though he had a great year. You know, but this year he's much more of a marked man. I mean, he's been our best player from the start of the season to the finish. He's been guarded by the other team's best player from game to game to game. But his consistency throughout all that has really been important to our success. I give him a lot of credit. Just the, you know, to go from a significant role player to best player, put the team on his back, and continue to have great numbers and a great impact on the game is remarkable.
Talking to Casey Alexander, Belmont basketball coach, and, you know, you look at this new era of college basketball, college sports, with NIL and transfers and all of that, you're moving into a different conference and starting that adventure. What's kind of that whole thing been like for you the last couple of years of seeing how much college athletics has changed in general?
Yeah, not very much fun, honestly. I mean, you know, there's no point in whining about it. It is simply just what it is, but it really challenges our model here. I mean, Belmont has had the success that it has had over the last 10, 15 years, especially because we have, you know, recruited the right kind of players. Our retention has been literally better than anybody in the country as far as roster turnover from year to year to year. Mm-hmm. Very, very little staff turnover, you know, so that model has served us very well. And that model is now challenged quite a bit, you know, because of the portal and the specifics of the portal. The fact that players can leave and transfer and play right away, you know, makes it much more difficult to keep guys who are on the fence about whether they want to stay or transfer. And then because that is the case, you know, the portal, you know, there's a lot more poaching out there. There's coaches that are, you know, finding a way to get to your kids, and that's not healthy for anybody. So it's made it difficult. You throw NIL on top of that, that makes it even more difficult. And so you just got to learn how to deal with it and make the most of it.
Do you find yourself, you know, just as you try and think a few steps ahead, that in the back of your mind, it's like, well, you know, this kid's not really playing that great. You know, this guy's playing better, but I know the potential that this kid has. And you're thinking, if I cut his minutes, he's just going to leave. Does that like stay in your mind?
Yeah, you think about all the scenarios. I don't think you can let it handcuff you. You know, I think my job is to help this team this year be the best that it can be. But it would be foolish to ignore all the scenarios that are out there. You know, because they're real. You know, I think the bigger, you know, question or concern for a lot of people at our level that have good players like we do is the retention for our best players, you know, and that are being recruited, you know, off of others, you know, off of other rosters. I'll give you an example. Cade Tyson's a freshman for us. He has a great first game of the season. We're talking November the 7th. He scores in double figures. He sends the game into overtime with a buzzer beater. You know, the next day his AAU coach, you know, got two or three Power 5 calls from other coaches, you know, ready to get in the game. You know, we're talking one game into his college career. Mm-hmm. You know, so things like that's not very healthy, but it's where we are.
With the ever-evolving, you know, world of college basketball, Casey, have you, you know, just, I know you kind of mentioned it earlier, but just a need to recruit 24/7 with these guys?
Well, I mean, you know, our job has been, always should be, to give the players on our team the best experience we can. And mm-hmm. you can only do that relationally, where they love where they are and they don't want to leave. But it's more paramount than ever before. I mean, you it is, we spend so much more time and attention and intentionality, you know, trying to connect with our players, trying to make sure that we've got a, you know, a finger on the pulse of what's going on with them, you know, just so that we give ourselves the best chance. And it's still, you know, it's going to work for some, it's not going to work for others, but it's, you know, it has become a significant part of kind of managing the program. It's a lot more than just coaching X's and O's, that's for sure.
Coach, you guys are at the top, well, tied for at the top of the Missouri Valley Conference. You face Bradley next in Illinois on Saturday. What challenges does this team face, and how do you prep for that heading into Saturday?
Yeah, Bradley's a team. They got a 17-game home winning streak, and in their I think they've played maybe 9 home games this year. Their average margin of victory is plus 28. So we've got a challenge, to say the least. They're really good, really physical. We found a way to beat them at home, but, I mean, it took everything we had to squeeze one out. And so, you know, I think they're the – you hesitate to say they're the best team in the league, but they're probably the most capable team in our league, especially if you're talking about March Madness and like, who can just line up and go toe-to-toe with a Power 5 and, you know, be a Sweet 16 kind of team. I think most coaches would say Bradley has that best chance. So we've got a challenge, but there's a lot of those in this league. And we've got a lot of those on the road during the second half of conference play. So I like where we are right now, but we are nowhere close to the finish line.
Well, best of luck with it on Saturday, and we'll be talking to you again soon. Thanks so much.
I hope so. Thanks.
Thanks, Casey.
Awesome. Thanks, Coach. Coach, joining us here on the show, Casey Alexander, head coach of the men's basketball team at Belmont. Hey, appreciate them for giving us some of the floor. That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
you brought that over. Coach Bird signed it.
Yes, we should have said thank you to Casey. Greg Sage gave us some. We got our credentials for the year, and then also they had to change their floor because it said Ohio Valley Conference, had to change it to the Missouri Valley. Pretty awesome. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
They all are signed by Coach Bird, so we'll have to add those to our bobbleheads up here.
Very, very cool. We will hear from Rand Carthon tomorrow. We'll discuss some things we want to hear from the new Titans general manager. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keiser, the reporter behind the glass. You want to go see the Predators play a game? Let's give away a pair of tickets to the Predators taking on the New Jersey Devils. That'll be on January 26th, which is a Thursday. It's Vanderbilt University College Night. You can buy a special College Night ticket and receive a co-branded hat with your special ticket purchase. Visit NashvillePredators.com/tickets and don't miss out on that. Caller number 5, 615-737-1025 will win those tickets to see the Preds take on the New Jersey Devils at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, January 26th. The Titans have made it official. Rand Carthon, the new general manager, will be introduced tomorrow at noon at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Doesn't say who all will be there, but I think we're going to assume Mike Vrabel will be a part of this. Maybe it's just those two, but I feel like somebody other than Vrabel will be there to do the introduction, whether it's Burke Nyhill, the team president, or Amy Adams Strunk. I think it'll be Burke.
I think it'll be Burke, too. It would be great if she was there because
– Or they'll just have Robbie Bourne up there and do it and then just let those two go.
Yeah. But I feel like it'll either be – I honestly can't really see Amy being there. It would be great if she was there to introduce him. What, do you remember who introduced J-Rob when he was here?
It was Steve Underwood, the president at the time.
Okay, so maybe they'll go that way too. But you would think maybe she would be there, but she didn't speak after John Robinson's firing to the media as a whole. She just spoke to Teresa Walker for the story on the AP. So it'd be great if she was there to ask questions. I doubt it. I think it'll be the president.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, at this point, she's pretty much made it known what her thoughts are. You know, she did the one-on-one with Teresa. She's done a couple of things with Jim Wyatt. I don't know how much she's really going to say. You know, they can ask, but she probably won't say a whole lot, especially about John Robinson, what's happened in the past. She's answered it how she's going to answer it. But I'm more interested in what Rand Carthon's vision for this franchise is, how it aligns with Mike Vrabel. Now, I do want to hear from Mike Vrabel on, okay, where are you at on the OC search? Are you leaning Tim Kelly? Do you really want to go outside? What ultimately led to Todd Downing? You know, I think he would. I think if they go down that road, the DUI is going to come up. Did that factor in, or was it just performance, or both? Again, questions he's probably not going to answer, but you know, it's still, I think, going to come up.
Well, and the question of who will have final say on this roster will come up.
Yep.
Will it be you? Will it be Ran? Will it be collaborative? Will it be Amy? That question definitely will be brought up. It probably will feel uncomfortable because they'll both be sitting next to each other, but I think they'll be on the same page because they know it will be asked.
Here's how I would do it, and I'm planning to go, so maybe I'll be the one to ask it. Amy has said in her report or her article with Jim Wyatt, I would say, guys, Amy has said that she wants a collaboration between the general manager and the head coach, and both would report to her. Mm-hmm. Let's say there's a scenario where, Mike, you really like this player, player X. Ran, you really like player Y. How do you two envision getting to the point where you decide on which one you're going to take? They can take that however they want it. Mm-hmm. But that is a – you're asking the question. You're asking the direct question. But then I'd be curious of how they would answer that.
Well, and Charles Robinson brought up a good point on Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's relationship and, you know, who has final say. I thought this was a great question by Rex Road. He was like, so, like, which coaches in the league have final say? And he brought up that dynamic for a second. He said, well, John Lynch has final say on the final roster, but if Kyle is like, no, I want this guy, and they have a disagreement, he'll go with what Kyle says. But it'll be his decision to listen to his coach, if that kind of makes sense. But that's how they explain it. But I think if you're a coach or you're a GM and you're looking at the way they explain it, I mean, that's good, because as soon as you throw the other person under the boat or under the bus, the trust is lost. As soon as you say, well, you know, he had final say, he picked X player, or it gets out that that's what happened, that's when you start to, you know, burn that bridge and things get a little tough. But if they're on the same page when it comes to things like that, you start to build a strong relationship. I mean,
right.
Look what that's done in San Francisco with those two.
Yeah. And look, I'd be curious too about, you know, like Jeff Fisher used the example, you know, hey, Mike, if there's a player that's on your draft board in the sixth round that you're not as familiar with, what is it that Ran can do to make you feel comfortable in bringing that player on, because he may know a little bit more about him than you would? You know, I think stuff like that.
I think that's a part of the hiring, right? His success he's had doing that in San Francisco, because that was part of his role, right? John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, they focus on like the top couple of rounds and the prominent players, the ones you really know, the ones you hear about. But then
the ones you and I could pick.
Yeah, but the ones who are later in the rounds, right? Even the late third, fourth, fifth, sixth, you know, those players aren't as well known, and they have to trust guys like Rand Carthon. And the 49ers have had success doing that. We've talked about George Kittle, Brock Purdy, Juwan Jennings, DJ Reed, right? Those are all guys who were picked later in the draft. And that's how you build depth on an NFL team, is not only hitting on your first round, your second round, and getting, you know, great players like that, because you need to be able to complement those players as well.
I do wonder if the Tannehill question,
it will totally come up.
I mean, last time it was Terry and Jared that went to it. McCormick and Jared Stillman.
Somebody will ask about maybe his relationship with Trey Lance or something, to try to get something out of that, and whatever this means. Do you know what this means? I don't know. But
Trey's under contract with San Francisco. He's a great talent. Really enjoyed working with him, and wish him nothing but the best in the future.
I want to see, like, I wish the, or I guess they're standing at a podium, or no, maybe they'll be sitting at a
table.
They'll
probably be sitting, yeah.
But usually they have, like, a curtain, and I would love to see if anybody's given a leg kick on, like, an answer or something like that underneath there.
What's another question that you think could come up tomorrow?
So we talked about offensive coordinator. We talked about, you know, the Tannehill question. I think along with that, the Derrick Henry question. And even questions about where you want to go with this draft, a rebuild question, which I don't think they'll answer.
Okay, so this is how I think that goes. Carthon would go, well, you know, I'm just getting started on the evaluation process and working with Mike, and I'm really looking forward to that. You know, we're going to look at every position on this roster, and we're going to put the best 53 on the field to compete for a Super Bowl in this league.
Yeah. So, boom. I mean, yeah, and you can project that a lot of the answers will be like that, a lot of answering but also not answering at the same time. A lot of questions about where are you in your offensive coordinator search? Is Tim Kelly the candidate? Hasn't been announced yet. A lot of that will come up. I bet you there's a Brady question in there.
Oh, yeah. And Vrabel will go, you know, Tom's under contract with Tampa Bay and Ryan's under contract with us.
What else? I mean, I think fans want to know. I think one of the big questions fans want to know is, you know, the vision he has for this team, what is he going to do? I think he's going to answer it exactly what you just said. And I think the offensive coordinator is going to be a huge topic of conversation as well.
Yeah. No, I think so too. So I'm curious. And I mean, we'll obviously, it'll be after our show tomorrow. So we will talk about it even more. We're working on a few big things for tomorrow that, could certainly help us out with a little more insight on Rand Carthon and what he's going to bring to the table as the new general manager of the Titans. But again, everything that I've kind of read and I've heard, obviously Jeff Fisher was on the midday show yesterday. You feel much better, feel good, feel positive about things. So we will see how that all shakes out. That is going to do it for us, but don't go anywhere. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. They'll continue the discussion on the Titans and GM Rand Carthon and what to expect out of him tomorrow when he is introduced. That is all next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.